At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you leave just enough room in your cap that where you maybe see a projection on a one-year deal and then someone comes over the top, you're potentially putting your organization in a really tough spot. And so the moves we've made and decisions we've made for weeks now leading up to this point is with that in mind. And so now we'll be matching and have the opportunity to have a player under contract that we think helps us win.
Kevin Adams, in my opinion, bluffing about the offer sheet scenario. Might not be likely to begin with. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. It's July 3rd. Getaway day for many of you, maybe out there with a long weekend on the way. I've also come to realize that I am the victim of a game here on this show that people are trying to not tell me. It's how long will I leave my sunglasses on top of my hat during the show? You guys are playing this, aren't you? Yeah, I caught it. Mm. I caught it. Like maybe 15 minutes today.
We let you go today.
Yeah.
Let you go
on your
own.
I get it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I get out of the car, put the sunglasses on top of my hat. We start the show. I log into the YouTube channel just to take a look, make sure I don't have food on my face. And there they are, sunglasses on top of the hat, indoors. Fine.
Still the part is that they are on your head at all because it's so early in the morning.
True.
What are we using the sunglasses
for? It's a great question. I don't even know how they get there. I think I put them
there. They're there somehow.
I think I put them there so I don't.
I almost feel like
them.
It's a bit like you're doing the bit. Like they look like it's a fashion thing.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
You're covering what's on your hat though if you wear sunglasses.
You know what?
On the hat.
You know what it actually is, I think? I think it's the same as you having a pair of truck or car sunglasses. You said you have a pair in your car.
I have a pair in my car at all times.
That's what these are for me, except instead of keeping them in my car, they're on top of my hat.
They're on top of your hat
at all
times.
That's just the little compartment that is mentally in my car for
Maybe
me.
Maybe the next tech innovation in hats is getting like a sunglasses space, like indent almost in your hat so that they just fit right in there.
Perfect. And for you,
it would be like if it's a white hat, they'd be white sunglasses. They blend right into the hat.
I love it. For you, though, it would be upside down, right?
Absolutely,
flip the sunglasses upside down.
Obviously. Who was doing this to me the other day that said I should get – there's a Sabres hat that's upside down that is right up my alley.
I don't know.
I forgot, though.
803-0550 is our phone number. So, all right, we've got some Kevin Adams stuff to get to. We've got, you know, NHL offseason stuff. The Bills are 20 days away from the start of training camp, from the first practice of training camp.
Right, they'll show up. I think they'll report 3 weeks from today, right? No. Before 19 days, the day before, so yeah. 19 days.
First practice Wednesday the 23rd. And then they go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. First preseason game is a month and 6 days.
Against the
Giants.
So we should get some Jackson Dart,
mm-hmm.
which will be interesting, right? We've had haven't we had a couple rookies play their first preseason games against the Bills? Caleb Williams, right?
Anthony Richardson did.
Richardson did, and he looked really good, didn't he?
Yeah, there was some impressive stuff from Richardson.
Yeah.
And Williams had a couple of really impressive throws, too.
Yep.
I mean, it's the preseason. It kind of shows you some of the value of the preseason. But, yeah, we've seen those two.
Which means we're under a month away from debates about how much guys should play in the preseason, of course.
Right. Well, training camp. We'll get excited for it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Ron in D.C. Ron, good morning. Is Ron there? Are you gone, Ron?
Am I here?
Yes, you're
there. Go for it.
Good, Ron. Hey, what's up?
Hey, good Thursday morning. Feels like a Friday. Hey, real quick about Steely Dan. They're still alive and kicking. I saw them 2 years ago at Madison Square Garden opening for the Eagles. The principals were Fagan, who still plays keyboards, and Walter Becker, who passed away as the lead guitarist. But they're a jazz fusion band that it's an acquired taste. So good on you to indulge everybody with that.
Sure.
Hey, turning to Kevin Adams real quick, this Paterka thing has ripped the Band-Aid off again, and we're back to Ralph Krueger word salads with Kevin Adams. It's really disappointing to hear Adams have to basically run around in circles again with the same old issue. I feel for the guy. It's like your friendly neighbor who wants to help you fix things around your house but doesn't really know how to do it. So at this point, we're back to Pegula's economic and efficient message. This $5 or $6 million that we're going to give to Bo is great. We're still going to have $5 or $6 million when the smoke clears because that money is going to go to pay the Sabre salaries in Rochester. That's where that $5 to $6 million goes every year because Mr. Pegula wants the Sabres to be a break-even business and doesn't want to lose any money because all the season ticket holders are holding back. So consider this a vet call as well as some Steely Dan rock history.
Sure.
Thanks, guys, for the great job you do. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Ron. One very small accounting number, Jacob Bernard Docker. So Adams mm-hmm. talked about that yesterday. He's asked about why they didn't qualify Jacob Bernard Docker. Now,
mm-hmm.
I fully understand how much weight this move has among Sabres fans. And by that I mean probably not a lot, but it's kind of like, I don't know, canary in the coal mine might not be the right metaphor here, but they did not qualify Jacob Bernard Docker. And from what I saw, the qualifying offer would have been $900,000.
Yeah.
And the NHL minimum is $775,000.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he got $800,000 from the Red Wings.
Yes. And Adams said yesterday that they didn't do it because of how many guys on the depth chart, where those guys are, and on and on. And he talked about if he had arbitration rights, what is arbitration, what is class, the number would have been considerably higher. And I hadn't seen anything about arbitration, so that, I guess, could be correct. But he left. Was he not arbitration eligible?
He was arbitration eligible, but the idea, what were they afraid of Jacob Bernard Docker earning in arbitration, a player that played 40 games last year, had 8 points, and played 13 minutes a night?
That I don't know. Is it one of the arbitrations you're able to walk away from?
Maybe.
Or is it one that you're bound to?
Even so, what? He was going to get $2.5 million? What did they think was going to happen?
He said the number that he was going to get was considerably higher. And that's one of the reasons they walked away. They like that guy, but you know, just the numbers of it. They've acquired a couple defensemen.
I think that's code for the coach didn't like him.
That's my guess.
I cannot accept that they were afraid that he was going to get what $75,000 more than they were willing to pay him, and that was the determining factor to why to dump him. Because I just can't see him getting any number that would scare anybody. Who is he? He's played just over 100 games in the league in 7 years, 6 years. Or it could be more about he did say this, the numbers of it, right? That they just didn't feel that it was even worth having a one-way contract
right.
for a guy that they thought was going to be like their eighth or ninth defenseman coming in. But the arbitration part of it was weird to me because I just what are you afraid of? $3 million? He's not getting a sizable contract. What do you get in the open market? He settled for $800,000. So
yeah,
I don't know. I can't believe the 25 grand or 100 grand. Even if I could go that high, maybe would have been the reason that he's gone.
Can I make a parallel here about for the Sabres to another team?
Sure.
Are they not a little bit like the Dolphins right now? Where they want to win, they want to improve on what they've been, but natural timelines might have suggested that by now in Miami, the GM would have been gone. And by now in Miami, the coach maybe would have been gone in a more shrewd operation. And instead what they get is, oh, this guy wants to be traded. Okay, well, let's trade him, and we'll get this and this and this back. And the whole thing ends up looking like, what exactly are you trying to do there? You're caught in between rebuild and, no, we're going to push forward for this. Because Miami probably can't win the Super Bowl, right? The limitations at quarterback are too significant.
Correct.
Their coach, I think, is good, but they don't have the talent to do it. And they're almost kind of treading water for a little tiny, not even moral victory. If Miami made the playoffs and won a game, that would be a great season for them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they haven't done it in 25 years.
And that's Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah.
Make the playoffs and win a game, that's kind of your Super Bowl. And here are the Sabres, where I've kind of said to you, Joe, like they almost have to treat making the playoffs like it's getting promoted to another level.
Mm-hmm.
They were 1 point away 2 years ago and have drifted further away since. And the way the national media talks about the Sabres, they're further away than they've been in 3 years. I mean, you get anybody reading these trades and talking about these trades. The Paterka trade is respectable, but most find it underwhelming. And the other trade for Clifton is just like, well, okay, that's whatever. They read like a team that is trying to get to this middle bar.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're not rebuilding. And because of that, they're not going for it. There's not really a bold, huge swing here. In 3 years or three off seasons since being 1 point out, they've taken very modest swings. And you know, Adam's here in year six saying, offseason number six, saying we're not interested in futures. The fact that's what you're being offered kind of tells you where you are. These teams think, oh, we'll take your good player, and you probably want some picks. You want a good player from us? Why would we do that? Good teams don't unload good players. We don't just send you a top six forward for the heck of it. We want to keep the top six forward and get your defenseman that we think will help us. So I don't know. Like I feel a little parallel to Miami, where the goal is we've been at this a little while. We have to take a step forward, but we're not shooting for the same thing that the teams at the top are really shooting for. Miami is not in the same ballpark as Baltimore, as Buffalo.
No, not even.
They're
close.
Not shooting for the same goals. You have to kind of accept your lot in life and shoot for a more modest goal. And to me, that's what the Sabres are doing here because of the timeline of the GM, because it's offseason number six.
Isn't it harder for Miami to screw it up this long, though, than because they have the advantages of that the Sabres do not have of when Tyreek Hill wants to be traded or is getting traded from the Chiefs and he gets to help narrow down his list, where does he end up picking where he wants to go? It's like it was between the Jets and the Dolphins at the end. Where does he pick? He picks Miami. Where does Jalen Ramsey want to go after he's leaving the Rams? He wants to go to Miami. Like, Miami is going to be a draw that is going to help you get talent there. Whereas here, that is seen as a preventative reason as to why they just can't kickstart this thing. That they can't get a good... Like, I wonder, for all the they don't want to do futures, and this is on the table, and maybe they said no to this for J.J. Paterka. I wonder if there was this. How you never really know. How many times does it happen that they're talking about a Bo Byram trade and Adams and the other GM are kind of on the same page, but it doesn't end up happening because the player doesn't want to come here? Because when you're trading Byram and a Benson or somebody else, you're packaging multiple things, that's when you're often dealing in the world of players that have no movement clauses, right?
Yep.
And is that why it's harder for them? Is that why we don't have one of these? Not just that the GM can't pull the trigger on deals like this and can't get them done, but also that this is the world of the no movement clause.
Well, could you have loaded up a package for Jordan Kyrou, whose no movement clause kicked in 3 days
ago? That's why it's not always
Patterson
until July 1st.
Yeah.
There were times when you could have done stuff.
There's reporting that Marco Rossi, they want to move him from Minnesota.
And that they don't want to pay him, yeah.
They're going to move him because they don't want to pay him.
That might be one where I wonder if they end up doing that because that's the best they can get. The report was they didn't want Rossi in a Paterka trade because they didn't want another undersized forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about a month later if you're trying to do this Byram for a top six forward move and there's no other idea available to you? So it's not we want a big top six forward. We want a good veteran top six forward. Well, maybe that's not out there for you. And if you search and search and search, maybe it's more available. Maybe there's a realization of we're not getting that guy.
No.
So, all right, we would have liked to do better than him a month ago, but now I'm looking around and like I could take a first round pick over here. I could take a prospect over there. Or I've got this guy who is smaller than what I like, but he put up 60 points last year as a 22-year-old. Like, how much better can I really do than that? And there's a thing with him in being, not taking well to being benched in the playoffs, and how Minnesota didn't trust him in the playoffs, and like that's a reason not to acquire him, which I just kind of like roll my eyes at. Like, I'll worry about him in the playoffs when I get to the freaking playoffs. I look at him and, like, that's a guy that his team wants to trade him, and I don't see any other top six forward that's available anywhere else in the league.
Yeah.
Give me a name. He's got no trade protection either. Give me a name that's better than that one, that makes more sense than that one.
803-0550, get some more calls in here. On the cap space, the Sabres projected cap space, this gets to the caller and what they kind of really brought up. The Byram saga, how it plays out, will also determine what people think of the Sabres and their commitment to spending. They have a $12 million in cap space right now.
Yeah,
and they have to sign. Who do they have to sign still? They signed McLeod.
They signed Quinn. So it's Timmins, Connor Timmins. It's not gonna be much.
Nope.
Levi. It's not gonna be much. And then it's Byram if he's here.
Right. So the potential really exists for them to have $9 million in unspent cap space. I feel like, can I get those other two for $3 million total? Like Levi gets two,
sure.
Timmins gets 1.5.
Sure.
They're gonna if the idea is they save $9 million in space and they save it and they save it and then they don't trade him. And what are they gonna do with Byram at that point? Give him a 1 year deal? Give him
one or two? Probably one. Two would walk him to UFA status.
Because if he gets traded,
want to do a 1 year.
If he gets traded and cheap pieces come in, and they're just sitting there with $8 million in cap space, what they'll say is that we have that because we saved it in case of an offer sheet, which is kind of what Adams alluded to yesterday. Strategic. He referred to having this much cap space right now as a strategic move to have this much space, which checks out right now. Like that does make sense.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Holiday vibes, no doubt. Paul Hamilton with us on the Wester Hotline. It's been a while since we've talked ABBA with Paul. Maybe it's overdue that we do, Bulldog, don't you think? It's been too long since we've talked about ABBA. Is ABBA holding up these 50 years later, Paul?
Well, they don't do like any reunion concerts or anything like that, although they're getting up there in age, but haven't seen them live in a while.
Live or alive in a while, you're kind of saying here. I have to say, both are true of me. So, Kevin Adams speaking today. How much of, and we have development camp too, continuing, how much of where we're at here with Adams, with the Sabres, is kind of a wrap on things, Paul? Like, it's never that business is necessarily closed, but today feel like closure?
No, because the Byram thing is still there. I think it seems might be closure after that. He said that, he's always looking to make the team better. And if that happens, if that comes along, he will do that. But he kind of, said he likes the team and where they're at right now. And so it seems like the Byram thing. And then, of course, getting contract extensions for Tuck and maybe Kesselring also are on the agenda too, and those negotiations have started also, but the Byram thing is still there, and so that has to be figured out one way or the other.
Paul, did I hear it correctly? It sounds to me like Adams is explaining the amount of cap room they have as making sure they have room to fit in a Byram offer sheet. And that's why, I don't want to misconstrue it, but it sounded to me like an explanation for why they weren't doing more or more active at all. Am I connecting the wrong dots here? Because I just had trouble with the explanation about, it just sounds to me like we're not going to use the cap room anyway. You all know it, but he's not going to say that. So he's telling you if somebody comes off the top rope with a $10 million a year offer sheet for Byram, we want to be able to match it.
Well, yeah, he said we have to be ready for anything, and that including that. And he said we are definitely, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. He said this is him talking, we are definitely matching anything that were to come along.
Yeah.
So he said we have to be ready and open for anything. You know, once the Byram situation is taken care of, then you know what kind of cap space you have. Or,
yeah.
I mean, they have approximately around 13.8 as far as million in cap space right now. Timmons needs a deal also. That's not going to be much.
Levi.
You know, so that's, you know, what they're looking at. But, you know, they're just that he wants to be ready for any scenario that comes with that. Maybe it almost sounds like he might be expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, expecting an offer sheet type of a scenario. So he doesn't want to be caught, as he said, you know, where, you know, it's like, well, now we can't do that or whatever. Once I think that situation is settled, then, you know, you look, all right, and this is what we've got. And, you know, we'll move forward with that. And the number that I gave you includes, I have Ryan Johnson on the Sabres cap right now. So that would include that. It's not a lot of money, but I'm just saying.
Right,
people
are
saying, well, where are you coming from here? I kind of think, for me right now, I don't have Byram in my lineup. I do have Johnson in my lineup. I think he's the guy that they would want in there, you know, should it happen. And then, of course, if Byram signs or if there's an offer sheet and you have that money, then, of course, all that's going
to
change.
I want to get to Johnson in a second because Mike and I were talking about him a little earlier in the week, and I thought maybe the window had closed on him, but maybe it's reopened here for him. But on the Byram situation, is it unfair for me to say back to all of that, well, that's why you trade him before July 1st, so you don't have to worry about keeping cap space warm in the case of an offer sheet because you've already taken care of the business. It's done. He's off your team, and there can't be an offer sheet, and now you can just go about, you know, spending your money.
Yeah, I true. But the problem, you know, the thing is, I don't know what the offers are. I don't know if, you know, right now, it just the Sabres don't seem to like the offers as far as trades go for Byram. And I would not just trade him to trade him. You know, it's just like, well, just to get him off the books, trade him. But I don't think this is equal value. I think we should get more. The way he was talking later in the conversation, it sounds like he might be looking for a forward and a defenseman for Byram. You know, because somebody was asking him about, well, if you don't have Byram, what are you going to do on defense? And it's like, well, I can't answer that question because if I don't have Byram, I don't know what I'm getting back. And he did mention, am I getting back a forward and a defenseman? Am I getting back, you know, so he said, he goes, I'm not avoiding your question, but, it matters what he's getting back as far as, you know, where he goes from there.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. What did you want to ask about Johnson?
Oh, just that if you agree with that assertion, like I said, Mike and I talked about it, and I said it was me that said it. Like, I don't know. I feel like he's not up and coming anymore. I think maybe he missed his window. But a 3-year commitment, and year one is, you know, two ways, so he can go down at a lower salary. But I think the back end 2 years are full NHL salary. And maybe his play is behind their decision on Docker, Bernard Docker, I should say.
Yeah, and you know, Mike Leone spoke right at the beginning of camp also, and I did, as you know, I got to see playoffs down in Rochester, and you know what Leone described is what I saw. Johnson, along with Rathbone, were like a shutdown pair down there, and Johnson saw a lot of key ice time in key situations for them down there, and apparently that's the way it was going during the regular season too. So, you know, he called him a shutdown pair with Rathbone down there, and it seems like, you know, he did blossom a little bit last year playing in Rochester pretty much for the whole season. So I think that's part of it. Adams was talking about Bernard Docker, and he said, you have to look at it different. It almost sounded like he was a little nervous about arbitration with him. He said, we're looking at a guy, maybe our number 8 defenseman here. And he said, if it's just the number of qualifying offer, he said, that's different. But he goes, that's not really what the number is going to be. He goes, that's what you do just to keep his rights.
Right.
And he said, at the end of the day, you know, he goes, this is what he could have. He didn't say what the figure was, but, you know, if he goes to arbitration and wins, that figure is going to be maybe above what they're willing to pay for a number eight defenseman type of a thing. So he goes, that's one of the reasons they did. But I think Johnson might have played in that also.
Yeah.
And Lindy Ruff's opinion, I think, played into it too, whatever that may be. We don't get a chance to speak with Lindy Ruff, you know, through all this. But, you know, there are going to be some questions for Lindy Ruff too as far as roster construction and those types of things next time we get together with him.
Yeah. Far be it for me to know more about how arbitration works in the NHL than the GM of the Sabres, but Bernard Docker's accomplished exactly what in the league that would get him an arbitration ruling that would be scary. I just can't really even get my head around that. He signed on the open market for $875 yesterday. What was an arbitrator going to go? Oh, he should get $2 million. I don't know. I can't really get my head around that.
I think the move. I think maybe Paul would agree, but I'll find out. I think the move that sort of made this all harder than it needed to be was signing Bryson back in the spring. Like, what was the point of that other than what would be obvious, which is like, we like the player and whatever Ruff thinks, et cetera. But was that worth doing?
Yeah, because, again, he's not in your top six. He also, that's why I think you're looking at also either a 7-8 guy, which is the same thing as Bernard Docker. What, judging from what Adams was just saying right now, which tells me that Johnson probably is by both of them. And it's the one thing I liked about Bryson is he can go almost a month not playing and jump in and be fine for a game or two and help you play. So he was signed just more for depth. Jason Bryson knows what the Sabres want out of him. He knows he's not in their top six. You could almost send him to Rochester if you have to. I mean, you've got Timmins, you got Kesselring, it sounds like they like Johnson. And if, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with the new guy, Jones, that they signed from New York. He did say they were very surprised that he wasn't qualified and he was available to them. So, you know, they had signed him, Zach Jones. So, you know, at $900,000, so... You know, where does he fit in ahead of Bryson, behind Bryson? Is he in Rochester? You know, that type of a scenario.
Yeah. What about Alex Lyon was learned today, Paul? Like what the plan is for him? Is he just here to compete? Was there anything that might have sounded interesting about what was said?
Not interesting, but yeah, I mean, he's here to push Luukkonen. It sounds like Luukkonen is the starting goaltender right now, but Lyon's here to push him and to be available if needed. You know, he didn't come out and say this, that, well, if Luukkonen fails, we can put Lyon in. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, and you could. That's, you know, I think why you go get a guy like him. But definitely to push Luukkonen. And, you know, he felt it was a good pair for them. And it also allows them to, you know, keep developing Levi down in Rochester.
I think I got to this yesterday when you were with us, Paul, so I hate to be repetitive, but I'm looking at their forward group. If you get all the way to Kozak, I think it's at 14. I had 13 yesterday, and Kozak's on a two-way deal, so you know there's more flexibility there with him to go to Rochester.
We left him out yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I was at 13, and I left him out because of the two-way thing. But anyway, 13, if not 14 forwards signed. I feel like his salary is also more manageable. You know, other guys here, like, you know, are just bigger numbers. Danforth, for example, $1.8 million. Like, he's on your team. He's on this team anyway.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely is.
So, where is a new guy going if they were to find their way to one? that's a question I might have. Like, is this team going to – unless they throw one of these guys, throw a Krebs in as a sweetener in a deal or something that they find to their liking that includes Byram, then maybe that's how you open up a spot that way. But if all they're doing is looking to deal Byram for the right deal, I don't know that I'm expecting anything up top here, especially at the high end of the roster.
Yeah, and the thing is, I talked about who do I have in my salary cap. I do not have Kozak. I have him starting in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, right now I have somebody, Danforth, Doan, Malenstein, mm-hmm. somebody like that as the extra forward.
Right.
And I don't know if they would go with two extra D. The Byram thing is what throws everything off for me, is where are your extra right. guys? You know, is Byram in your lineup? Is he not? You know, who are your extra forwards? What are they doing with Jones? You know, is Bryson up here? You know, whether you go with two extra D and one extra forward, two extra forwards, one extra D. You can always trade a forward also. You might, you know, if something comes along, you can trade Malenstein. Or I know it didn't work out maybe quite as well as they. I mean, he certainly, you know, was in on the forecheck and did those things. But, you know, he had quite a few more points in Washington than he did in Buffalo. You like for him to contribute a little bit. But if a good forward comes available and you got to trade Quinn or somebody, fine. Trade Quinn. I don't care. Or Quinn maybe is on the outside looking in then. I mean, that's right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I put my depth chart, I have him playing basically with Norris and Tuck. But if something comes along where you can get a forward top six and Quinn's not dressed, I have zero problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, to put it in there, and maybe he and Danforth are your the two guys that, you know, aren't dressing type of a scenario. So there's a number of different ways to look at it. You can always open up a spot if, as you said, you could trade Krebs somewhere. If, you know, because Danforth, you know, if you want Danforth in the lineup, maybe Krebs goes to the wing and Danforth goes to the middle. And maybe you got Danforth, Doan, and Malenstein. And, you know, you can trade somebody else to mm-hmm. So I think there are a number of, I wouldn't shy away from trying to get a forward. I wouldn't say there aren't any jobs. You can open up a job any way you'd like. And as I said, you can do it by trade. You can do it however you'd like to do it. If they're afraid of opening up a job, you know, well, if they can really improve this team with a forward and they're afraid of opening up a job, that would, like, blow my head off.
Well, the reason I'm thinking that way, Paul, is because of the money. I don't think they're going to put $1.8 million in the press box in Danforth. Like, I think if he's on the team, he's going to be in the lineup. And so I'm worried about if they want to spend enough to make something happen here. That's really it.
Well, then Doan at 925 would be sitting. I mean,
yeah.
Once we get to the season, that's up to Lindy Ruff. I mean, I how much money you have sitting in the press box?
Yeah.
To me, you just kind of totally ignore that. I mean, that's up to Lindy Ruff what he wants to do with his lineup and who should be playing and who shouldn't be. And then you run into injuries too. You know, who's hurt, who's not, through training camp, and you know they're not going to, you know, not have injuries and that type of thing. So, but that's, you know, I did raise my eyebrow a little bit today when he kind of made it sound like, well, if something comes along, we're certainly going to be looking to improve our team, but
yeah.
He kind of made it sound like they're finished.
He sounded to me like his team's on the floor. Yeah, that's what I think too.
Salary floor?
On Byram, I want to just make this observation and get reactions perhaps from both of you. Has there been any noise from Byram, or really more importantly, the agent, throughout all this? Like, when Adams talks about Byram and he understands where we're at, and I've been honest with the agent, I'm inclined to believe him. Like, I know people in this position, Adams himself, are gonna, you know, because they feel they need to mislead you, maybe flat out even lie. But I feel like if Byram and the agent felt like they were getting strung along here and getting stonewalled on, you know, getting a trade in place and getting him out of here and signing the lifetime achievement contract that he's certainly, I'm sure, looking for at this point in his career, maybe they'd be rattling the cage a little bit. But I've not, unless I've missed it, I've not heard a peep out of them, which sort of tells me that they're kind of they're on board, sort of waiting by the phone to see what happens. Yes, we'd like to go somewhere else, but if we can't, you know, we're not going to be miserable about it.
No, I think you're right. I believe what I've heard from Kevin Adams about Byram. You can go back to Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart was perfectly willing to play out with the Sabres one more year if he had to. He was fine. He goes, you have me for one more year. If you want me to play here, I'll play here. That's fine, but I'm not re-signing. Just to let you know, I'm not re-signing with the team. He felt like, you know, that he never had gotten an offer for a long-term deal. He felt slighted by that. Three different GMs, and it was like, Kevin, that's fine if you want to offer something, but I'm not going to take it. I just don't feel like right. I've been respected. But he was totally fine with, if you want me to play the final year here, I will. That, you know, I'm I'll give you everything I've got.
Right.
And I think Byram's in that situation too. It's like, you know, I can't be an unrestricted free agent for two more years. If, you know, you want me to play another year, that's fine. And I believe him that Bo Byram will give you everything he's got, just like he did last year. He's not going to be pouting. He's going to have a smile on his face in the locker room and be interacting with his teammates and trying to win hockey games. And, if that winds up being the case. So Adams hasn't said anything here where my eyebrows raised and go, ooh, that doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
What he's been saying about Bo Byram does sound right from what I know of Bo Byram.
What's new with development camp, which runs through tomorrow?
This has been a weird development camp, Mike. It really has. I was sitting there today. I've hardly seen any of it. I'm in front of it. But I'm writing stories about free agency and, concentrating kind of on other things. It just seems like it landed at a spot that's been different in other years. I mean, I haven't even had a chance to write anything about it. I think that's going to happen when development camp's over, when finally all this stuff is past us. And then I can talk about some of the guys from development camp who we've chatted with. Some of the local guys, Mertka and that type of thing. And I can kind of get to that. But as far as if you say, well, what have you seen? Well, I've seen my computer top and I've seen Kevin Adams talking while it's going on next to us. And nothing really is computed all that much. I think where I really will get a good eyeful and be able to concentrate is tomorrow during the 3-on-3. And, see some of these guys compete in that. But this is the first time I can remember where, as I said, I've been in front of development camp, but I've kind of been sidetracked doing other things, even though it's going on in front of me.
Is there a player you're most excited about, at least?
The kids in college I really was looking forward to seeing and actually even seeing tomorrow. Guys that, Kleber, who was a second round pick, Mertka, of course, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the 3-on-3 to see what they have in him. I'm curious also about the goaltender, in Seattle has done a good job. Who, if you remember last year,
right? Yeah,
he played the preseason game because the Sabres were over in Germany and Czechia, so it was, as he called it, it was the Buffalo Amherst playing like the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Ratzlaff was in goal playing the Blue Jackets team, the NHL team, and for the two periods he played, he shut him out. And he looked at it, I looked at Twitter and saw their lineup, and he goes, what have I got to lose? Just go play. and he got in net and showed at least that, I think he'll probably be the pair with Levi in Rochester this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. But, when I say guys like Adam Kleber, the second round pick last year, a big kid, right defenseman, Brody Ziemer, who was the third round pick last year, who played at Minnesota this year. It's not very many guys that play as true freshmen at Minnesota. And he talked about that today where, when you're a true freshman, you're going up against guys who are, 4 years older than you, 5 years older than you? Because most guys go to the USHL before they wind up in college. That's what Kleber did. He played 2 years in Lincoln for the USHL before he played for the University of Minnesota Duluth. And the two of them actually are both from Minnesota. They played peewee hockey together. They were on the same team in peewee.
Kleber and Zimmer?
Yeah. You know, they talked about that. So, you know, a big – but Kleber's just such a big guy. I mean, he's 6'5", and he's still smaller than Mertka. You know, and he's a right-handed shooting defenseman as a number two. Unfortunately, Sturbeck couldn't be here, the number two in 2023. But here's a right-handed shooting defenseman also was a number two pick playing at Michigan State, and I would have loved to have seen him again. But the thing about Zimmer, I remember last year in development camp in this three-on-three, he's got an absolute missile for a shot. And, you know, he gets it off in a hurry. And so that's, you know, to have that already, you know, as he's only played 1 year of college. So this is the chance to see the college guys, and I'm looking forward to that. Gavin McCarthy, the third-round pick from Clarence Center, you know, he's a guy playing at Boston University. I'm looking forward to seeing him and his progress. So those are the guys, you know, we get to see now because we don't get to see them at the Prospects Tournament because they're already in school and they can't be here. So this is a chance to see those guys that the Sabres have drafted.
Very good. Thanks, Paul. Keep your head up tomorrow.
I will be. I'll be looking. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Good work this week, Paul, although it's only Wednesday.
I mean, obviously, the winning regimen they've put up through the last 5 years, of really since they've been in the league. Got such a competitive team every year, got such good players here. You know, the living arrangements, from talking to Pacioretty and Revo just through the last couple weeks, you know, it seemed like everything was a pretty good fit for my wife and I and our new son. And, yeah, the winning aspect of this team really helped in everything as well, and, you know, the great players they have here. So, lucky enough, it all worked out, and, you know, this is where we wanted to be.
That is Mitch Marner. Signed a 8-year, $96 million deal, I believe I read. I want to make sure here. Vegas. By the way, projected cap space for Vegas, I'm looking at Puckpedia. They're over the cap by $7.6 million right now. That's what it says. They're over the cap by 7.6. That's projected cap space. Honestly, like, if this is the NFL, I could tell you exactly how that works when you're over the right now, but I can't for the NHL because I'm not totally, like, in tune with those rules. But it feels like you shouldn't be able to operate if you're over the cap. Maybe they're not right now. It's projected. So I guess it's like counting their RFAs, I guess, is where you'd kind of land on that. Mitch Marner, $12 million a year. I mean, we'd be okay, right, Joe? If you found out that the Sabres had made that deal for Marner. Like, well, you know what? He just wants to be paid $12 million. Guess what? Sabres want to give it to him. Bam. I want to go to Buffalo. I want to hang out with Josh Allen. I'm a Bills fan. Bam. Sabres give him $12 million. We'd be cool with that, right?
I'd be more than okay with that. Mitch Marner on the Sabres, I think that'd turn a lot of things around. But
I don't.
Pitch.
I don't care. $12 million. So what? You know, if someone says he's not worth $12 million, I don't care. So what? What's he worth? $10 million? Great.
Right. With their current situation, it's time to overpay for a big guy, I think, a big name. That's where we're at.
By the way, I'm looking at Vegas's page, by the way. Eichel's got 1 year left at 10 mil.
Yes.
Is that interesting?
It's interesting because I think...
I'm not saying from a Sabres standpoint. I'm just saying from a Jack Eichel standpoint.
Yeah, you can look at it from two ways for Vegas. Marner might be an incentive to keep him there, that tandem up there, right? But also it could be, oh, we've got, you know, we're going to get another superstar in the door. So when you do inevitably leave, we're not left with nothing. So there's a couple ways I think you can look at that. It's pretty interesting, though.
Where is Jack Eichel playing in 26-27?
I think in Vegas still. I think after they go on a big run with Marner this season, I think he's going to stay.
Probably right. But you know it's out there, like the Boston thing, right? And the Rangers have always coveted Eichel.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't count Boston out from landing him.
No.
Because I don't think they're going to be that great this year. So they might try and start rebuilding a touch in my mind. So that would be a good piece to move in there.
All right, let's go. Let me get to some posts here from you. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Richard says, from my talk earlier about Bo Byram, and if they match the offer sheet, and then maybe, you know, you get a couple things on this. Let's just say the Sabres let him go, I should say. There's an offer sheet, and they let him go, and they get the compensation. First of all, before I get to his tweet, want to thank Josh, who tweeted in and said, you can't trade the player if you match an offer sheet for 1 year. And that's right. I believe that is right. And I'd forgotten that rule, but that's right. So, but okay, fine. Maybe next year you do it and you still have the, you know, you still have Bo Byram for a year, whatever. But you're right. It kind of takes away what you're trying to accomplish this year. So I totally get it. On that note, Darth tweets in, Darth Richard says, yeah, well, Sal, the number nine, like it was so coveted. It wasn't. And that was my point. Like you couldn't get a lot for number nine. But if you do get a couple, of picks, if you have two picks in the first round, I think that that changes the equation a bit. But my point is, I don't want the picks. I don't think that's the case. But do the Sabres feel you might as well just do that instead of paying Bo Byram? I guess that's the point I was trying to make. So thank you. Yes. I'm not telling you, Richard, that I think the Sabres should just, take the compensation from an offer sheet and spin it because you're getting something great. My point is, it's a tough situation because you're not going to probably do that. However, a couple of picks in the first round could help you, including one that might be higher, who knows. And that would be in lieu of paying Bo Byram if you don't want to do that. Or you're paying him to be on your team, which is not bad. He's not a bad player. But, you know, what does that look like going forward? It's not a great situation here, talking about all this. 803-0550 is the number to call. Okay, so I went to the Sabres Puckpedia page. So Puckpedia is really good, by the way. Puckpedia.com. This had replaced the Cap Friendly page, essentially. Didn't replace it. It was always existed. But Cap Friendly was your place to go for all of the NHL contract stuff. And then the Washington Capitals like bought the site from the person running it. So, okay. But now Puckpedia does a really good job. And I think they have pretty much everything you need here. They do for me, I'll tell you that. It is interesting looking at the Sabres. Now, I don't know. I have to go and look at every team, see like where most teams fall with this, to be honest with you, Joe. But I mean, so maybe they're not unique. The Sabres only have two forwards, actually three now that they signed Kozak, but I'm going to say two. Two forwards under contract beyond 2 years from now. That's it.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't really, that's a little concerning for
me. Three forwards. I would say three forwards. They have Norris, Thompson, and McLeod. That's it, because they signed McLeod. Sorry, I have to add McLeod in there. They signed Norris, Thompson, and McLeod. The point I'm making is this, though. Every other forward on the Sabres, Zucker, Tuck, Greenway, Quinn, Danforth, Krebs, Malenstein, Benson, Doan, Kulik, all of them, their contract expires either now or when looking for, you know, what they're doing, or after next season.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's kind of, I don't know. I don't even know how to look at this because it's in my mind, there's one more shot, right, for the current regime in the front of it all. And then you are kind of looking at these guys moving on to different franchises and maybe trying to move them on the last year of their contract. So it's kind of a do or die moment in my mind, but it's unsettling to hear names like that, like especially at the top, like Tuck, somebody who's from Syracuse, grew up a Sabres fan. It's a little unsettling to hear that they haven't quite gotten anything done with him yet, and his name was kind of mentioned here and there, but you hope they get him on an extension and maybe a couple others so they have more depth going forward, I should say.
So, by the way, congratulations to our Zach Jones. He has signed a deal with the Sabres. I'm kidding, but in same name. This one has no H in it. Our Zach Jones has an H in his name. This is Z-A-C. That was yesterday. They announced some guys with some two-way deals. Zach Jones now in the fold with the Sabres. Don't expect really much for him to be maybe playing in the NHL or whatever. Either way, if you look at the Sabres forwards, just thinking forwards now, look at their depth chart and how you want to look at this. They still have, a gaping hole in their top six because now everybody kind of has to move up a little bit. So right now, I guess if you take it Puckpedia, what they're saying, and I'm looking at our Brian Mazurowski from WBEN. He tweeted this yesterday, or this morning, I should say, and this is a screenshot of it. So I'm looking at it right now. As of right now, it's Norris with Thompson and Benson on the top line, McLeod with Tuck and Zucker. That's your top six. I actually don't mind the third line, Kulik, Greenway, and Quinn. I don't think that's a bad third line. What do you think?
I'm in agreement with you on that. I don't think that's the worst you can do by any means.
Then you get to your fourth line, Krebs, Doan, and Malenstein right now. I don't know what Josh Doan's going to be. I mean, they trade for this kid, and sure, that's nice, you know, piece to come back with Kesselring, but I don't know what he's going to be. Is he even, you know, an NHL player right now, full-time? Malenstein. I mean, if there's a guy out, what do I need with Malenstein? I'm not looking for that particular group. Who cares? If I replace Beck Malenstein with somebody like him, what's the big deal? What I need is for someone to push Benson down and Zucker down maybe, and whatever. You can play with guys. I mean, Zucker had a nice year last year. He's a veteran. But I still need more in my top six right now. And I think that's where the Bo Byram situation comes in. Like, what are you really doing if you don't help your top six at this point? After, like, this top six looks a lot different if J.J. Paterka is still here. Because now everybody pushes down a little bit. So that's what I'm looking, and that's what I need.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And they haven't replaced Paterka yet. And I think that's the big thing that's standing out to people right now at this point, free agency. So if they do that, you immediately are in a better spot. But they have to do that.
The other part of this is, and by the way, what if it's, I've seen this floated around, what if it's, okay, Byram plus someone from that grouping that, you know, I just talked about, is this Benson involved, right? This is a young player you like, he's under cost control for a while. Like, now you're dealing with, okay, we still have to replace him. I'm not saying he's like replacing JJ necessarily, but you still got to replace him, right? Like, whatever's going out, you still have this hole, and if you're going to create another hole, you have to fill that as well. But when I hear about these deals that could be out there for Bo Byram, I don't know. That's nice. But just give me someone to put in my top six, however that's got to look. But if I'm taking out of my top six, at least if it's somebody that I'm fine with replacing him there. Because right now you have to – that's fine with pushing guys down. There was a point I was going to make here about it. Oh, yeah, here. The other point I'll make about is this. I can't be confident enough, and I'm sure – most of you can't be confident enough in Joshua Norris staying healthy. But if Joshua Norris stays healthy, that could really change the equation for this team. I mean, he could be a guy that could really help this team and help everybody else around him and what's underneath him as far as lines ago. I mean, he scored 35 goals just a few years ago. He had 20 goals in 53 games last year with Ottawa. 21 total and 56 because he came to the Sabre for three games and got hurt. But he hasn't played more than 56 games in 3-4 years and no more than 66 ever in an NHL career that's lasted 6 years so far. He's a very, very talented player. He is your number one center when everything is in line and healthy. I just can't be confident that that's going to happen. But if he is, I think it does change how this team could look and shape itself as you go forward. Let's go to Mike, who's in his car right now, so I'll get him on now. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. You know, I guess the frustrating thing to me is we went into the offseason saying we needed to add to our top six. Instead, we lose a top six, and now we're talking about trying to get back to where we were last year when we still needed to add to our top six. I was hoping the offseason comes and we package Byram, Quinn, and a prospect and keep Paterka and add to our top six and get better. What we're talking about now, if we try to get somebody in our top six who's better than Paterka or as good as Paterka, we're no better than we were last year in our top six. All we've done is improved our defense a little. We haven't done anything really in terms of our goaltending. And it's just another year of the same old thing. It's you've got a GM that should have had an assistant GM who's a veteran come in 5 years ago when he was brand new to teach him the reins, to learn the game, to all the things. Now you bring him in 5 years later, which is fast backwards. this whole franchise, everything that's happened in the last 14 years has been just a crap show. And it's so frustrating as a fan. I mean, I've been watching the Sabres since 1970. I mean, I'm an old guy. And it, just to watch it happen time and time again and to have this GM talk down to the media the way he has and act like he's of some type of a veteran in winning in this league is so frustrating. That's all I got to say.
I hear your frustration, Mike. I get it, buddy. I do. I'm right there with you. You know, we get a lot of calls from people, whether it's this show, Sabres Live, One Bills Live gets a lot of these types of calls where a fan will say, I've been with this team since 19 whatever. And that's Bills and Sabres. I've been a fan since then. And I don't know. I think people feel sometimes the need to qualify that to tell you how passionate they are. And you're not wrong, Mike, for saying it. I'm not criticizing you for doing that. Because I think people always want you to know, I've been through the thick and thin, and this is as bad as it's ever been for me. As much as the thin has been bad in the past. Right? And I get it. I'm right there with you. As far as improving the top six, you could make an argument like, yeah, I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes telling you they haven't gotten better in their top six. They have this huge hole because of J.J. Paterka. I mean, but we also know J.J. Paterka has some deficiencies on the defensive end. I still believe he's an ascending player who can fix those, and he's still developing. So I don't want to just dismiss. And I was sitting here last week going, hey, like, this is a guy that still could be much better in his own end than he is now. He's young. But you could make an argument that you could be better in your top six, depending on some moves based on that. This is not a team that struggles to score goals. They did on the power play last year, which is an issue in itself. But they're not a team that struggles to score goals. They're good 5-on-5. JJ was one of the better 5-on-5 guys. So I'm not going to dismiss entirely they can't get better in their top six based on what happens. That's got to start with a Bo Byram deal, I think, that can, you know, make something like that happen.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We believe Bo is an excellent hockey player that can help our team win. You know, I've maintained the same position that if there's a deal out there that makes sense for us that we think is going to improve our roster, we're open to it. But if there's not, you know, we're not in a situation where we're looking to move him out or looking to move him for futures and stuff like that. It's just for me, we want to help our team win hockey games, and he does that.
Kevin Adams. Are they, well, whatever, we'll get a call in here. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Are they gun-shy on big contract extensions because they already have a bunch and it did not work out for Cousins and, I mean, Petorka didn't get his.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work out for Samuelson. Usually if they identify a player as, love this guy, boom, he's got 7 years.
Right, like they wouldn't talk about Tage the way they're talking about McLeod.
No.
Right, like, hey, helps our team win. It would have to be the right deal that makes our team better. I don't think that's how he would answer a question about Tage, Darlene, Tuck,
right?
McLeod. If he had got McLeod was an RFA, he never got asked this question because there was never any trade smoke about him. But if he had been asked the same question about McLeod, what would he have said? Wouldn't he have sounded different?
Yeah,
I don't think you would have heard. Hey, if there's a deal out there that makes us better, like, and he's very open about the idea of trading Byram, which is why I just still want to feel like they want to do it.
Yep. Jeff in Tampa. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, not exactly what I was going to call about, but that clip from Adams just makes me, not to oversimplify it, it makes me sound like somebody who's buying a house. I have to have a house with purple shutters, but so get the house, the best house you can get, and then change the shutters yourself. It's ridiculous. But the reason I was going to call was that I feel like the Sabres, regardless of who is in charge for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, they don't learn from their own mistakes, and they certainly don't learn from the previous administration's mistakes. I mean, this whole thing with the offer sheet, it sounds like the Vanek thing. I mean, they got so upset with losing, you know, Breer and other players. Like, they just, we're going to match. We're going to overpay a player when we could have got some great draft picks. I mean, take the best deal, period, and then sort it out. It's just, they just don't learn from anyone's mistakes.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I would say, you know, the Vanek offer sheet, it is one of the endless conversations, fun conversations to have about, well, what would have happened the other way? The difference there is, of course, the Sabres, when that happened, were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. And they had just suffered a massive loss of losing both Breer and Drury.
Mm-hmm.
And the GM is faced with maybe losing another premier player. This one even younger.
Drury only played 2 years.
Yeah, top five draft pick.
Yeah.
And
40 goals.
And you're a good team. So you say, no, I'm going to keep that guy, and this is his contract now. I never thought it was too much of an overpay. He was awesome. I mean, maybe at the time by, what, a couple million, but whatever.
The difference there wasn't, do I have this right? At the time, the contract Vanek got would have fetched the Sabres 4 first-round picks.
That's right. You would have picked up 4 firsts from Edmonton.
Which is Byram at most 2, probably more likely 1.
Yes.
That's a different call than 4 first-round picks. I mean, Vanek was a better player by a lot, I think, than and helps a team more when he was coming off a 40-goal season than Bo Byram is right now. But wasn't that more the debate was not, is he worth this? It's, do we want 4 firsts for this guy?
Which
a
the
lot
answer,
of draft compensation.
It is. But again, they were an awesome team.
They after Breer and Drury?
Well, they would have had reason to think, let's continue to try to win games and be competitive. Sure, we lost mm-hmm. Breer and Drury. We still have Ryan Miller. We were the number one team in the entire NHL. Uh-oh. All right. Well, we lost 2 super important players.
Right.
Should we tank? I mean, when I – listen.
Yeah.
Go back to that moment. If you want – if I feel like if you think they should have taken the 4 firsts, you are not allowed ever – I'm looking right in the camera – ever – to yell at me about tanking. That was a President's Trophy team.
Mm-hmm.
2 players leave in free agency. Ooh, they're offering you 4 firsts for this guy. Let's tank. When I wanted them to tank, which they did,
mm-hmm.
they were 24th a couple years in a row,
yeah.
and they were dying on the vine. It was brutal.
So they unloaded their talent, like Pominville and Vanek, ironically, and Miller, and had some bad seasons and reloaded. The idea that in that moment they should have taken four firsts, Edmonton was a kind of a hopeless franchise at that point. They kept picking in the top three. Maybe they get Vanek, maybe they get another player, and they're just middle round picks. I mean, it's you don't just get to say, look where those four first picks were.
Right. And even if you do, I mean, it's not like there's no McDavid attached to that. The four first round picks after the Sabres matched, the four first they would have received. Vanek would have been on the Oilers, so you could play that game. Like, would they have been better?
Give me the spot they selected in the next 5 years, because as one of the little wrinkles is...
Oh, they had to be in the first.
That Edmonton would have had to give you four picks in 5 years. So if they picked fourth, they could have said not this year.
Right. I'm just double-checking one of these, because they picked 22nd the year after they offer-sheeted Vanek. But I'm just double checking. They traded down. They picked 12th originally.
Okay, because when they when they offer sheeted Vanek, they had been to the Cup final 2 years before.
Right.
Because 05-06 they lose to Carolina.
Right.
So that's a team that went to the Cup final. I think it's an 8 seed.
Yeah.
And then the next year missed the playoffs.
Right. So then
they're looking to get back. I mean, they were not the completely worthless Oilers that we knew for a decade in between.
But then they kind of become that, but here it is. Of the next 5 years, their draft selection was 12, 10, 1, 1, 1.
Again,
but
it's not the
same. You want to know who those three were?
The ones were Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yep.
Is it Taylor Hall?
Taylor Hall.
And the third one is going to be... Nail Yakupov.
Nail Yakupov.
You want to get me on some trivia? You get me number one picks.
Nail Yakupov,
I'll tell you who those guys are.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
So you would have received two really high picks, but none of those players were like... They didn't turn the Oilers around.
Again, the main point is...
I mean, Nugent-Hopkins is still contributing, but...
You were a good team trying to stay good. Now, in this offer sheet scenario, you are not a good team.
Right.
The idea that you're going to get a forward and a D, first off, where would they go? The Sabres have almost done with their forwards, their middle-class forwards, what they did with their first-round draft picks, which is you actually have too many of these guys.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? If a team is offering a forward, this is you in fantasy football with roster limits. I got to cut a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't have many players I want to cut. Who am I trading away? This is where the packaging comes in. Like, okay, it's Byram and Greenway. Byram and, you know, God forbid, Tuck. You want to get a real piece.
But see, that's the thing.
You're not going to trade Tuck, of course.
What's interesting about the volume of the players they have right now, because they isn't the reason they're going to trade Byram or would want to trade Byram just strictly they don't want to give him a long-term commitment? Because for right now, like, they're... I am not telling you their top six is good at all. Like, I think it's a big problem. But they have plenty of enough forwards to fill out a lineup. You want to push Benson or Quinn down the bottom six, and then you're pushing someone else out of the bottom six. Like,
which is fine, but no one wants to give you a top three forward for Bo Byram.
Right.
And if you're sitting around waiting for that, saying, I don't want futures, I'm waiting for my top six forward.
If it's just for another third-line winger that I've already kind of got, you know, like... Then you go back to the question, well, if it's just for that, what's more valuable to me? A third-line winger that I'm going to overplay and put in the top on the top line, or Byram on my top pair, when if he's not my top pair defenseman, it's going to be Samuelson again?
Yeah. Well,
because I might argue that Byram over Samuelson is pretty equivalent of an upgrade or of a spot to be than putting, you know, Jason Zucker 2.0 on my first line. That's not where I want to end up.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
That's why the only idea is to package something with Byram. That's the only good idea.
And that ship might have sailed, because what do you package with him? Kulik?
Benson. You do it with Kulik's a center. Like, those are the two that carry the most value, that are both really good young players. But the difference is, you trade Kulik, I don't know what you're doing at center. Center's a disaster at that point, in my opinion. It already looks pretty questionable.
Aren't there 15 teams that wouldn't even consider Benson because he's too small?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, he.
I know his numbers are very good.
And
but
there's
just,
he plays bigger than he is. He wins battles. You know, he's goes to the dirty areas.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think there would be enough teams that would fall in love with the profile there, and maybe hope that there's still a greater offensive ceiling if he can figure out how to shoot a hockey puck.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Still some Sabres offseason stuff. We got Kevin Adams yesterday speaking on a number of issues, talking with the media about Alex Lyon. He called him a established, or what was the word? Called him a
What was the word? Because I
it was
I,
not established. It was
I a, looked up how many starts he had in the league after he said whatever
was
it was.
Was it a proven goaltender?
Maybe it was proven.
Yeah.
Because
it got to our conversation yesterday about could he win the job from Lucan, and the way that
right.
Adams talked, it sounded like he thought it could happen.
And listen, like I actually would prefer. I think Lyon right now presents a better profile than Lucan does, but I wouldn't use the word proven or established because. Do you know that he is 32 years old? Do you know how many starts he has in the NHL?
It's like 100.
Yeah, he has started 51 fewer games in his NHL career than Luukkonen has.
Yeah. Well, that's
so established
where
is not necessarily the right term, I think.
He said he was in for competition. And to me, that sounds like a guy that is really in the competition.
Right.
Bo is an excellent hockey player that can help our team win. You know, I've maintained same position that if there's a deal out there that makes sense for us that we think is going to improve our roster, we're open to it. If there's not, you know, we're not in a situation where we're looking to move him out or looking to move him for future.
Kevin Adams today on Bo Byram. So, as we talked about with Paul Hamilton, not officially is business closed for the summer. But, you know, this was the press conference. If it was even that, the media availability that comes when, you know, most of your action has been completed, quote action.
Yeah.
So for now, Byram is here.
Smart of them not to stream it or anything.
Yeah, I saw some people complaining about that.
I really mean it. I think making it harder for us to see him and hear him talking is called for.
Is good?
Yeah.
Smart?
Yeah.
That should never be the case.
I know. It's like a it's like a tennis racket size backhand compliment. But it's, you know, I didn't mind. I mean, I heard what I needed to hear, and I don't know. I was looking for it. It was a good pocket of the day for me. I'm like, oh, 10:30. I'm scrolling. Where is he? Where is the Sabres account with here's Kevin Adams? Like, then didn't do it. So
what happens now? I mean, assuming, which I will want to do, I'm choosing to do, that there's no trade waiting for us here with Byram. What then? He gets a contract this summer from them? Do they go to September? Is there arbitration?
There is arbitration, and he, I would think, would surely choose that. So that could be where we end up. Is they just get, you know, there's a decision there, and the Sabres abide. You know, just spraying to mind here, sitting here now, like it's, you know, day three or four or whatever. It's been a week since Peterka got traded. He got traded Wednesday overnight into Thursday last week, right? And so these are both restricted free agents, different years away. Byram's 2 years away from UFA, and Peterka was, I think, 4 years away from UFA. Why are the situations being handled as differently as they are? Right? Why were they so ready to trade him? And please don't tell me it's the return. The return is good. I like the players, but they didn't kill it. It was not a deal that you couldn't turn down, I don't think. I think that's fair. You know, you can like the players they got and still think they left something out there in making that choice. And you know, I wouldn't say I assumed, but the caveat to liking the deal, or at least liking the players, not liking the deal, but liking the players, living with the deal because you like the players, is I'm going to do something with Byram that's going to help me supplement what I'm losing by trading Peterka. But they're both in the same situation. Byram I think it's pretty clear, doesn't want to commit long term here. And that was the story on Paterka. And I don't know, they took I don't want to say they took the first deal that crossed their face for Paterka, but
maybe
they played hardball. They're playing hardball with Byram, and they facilitated Paterka. And I'm not sure I really, maybe there's such an obvious reason why.
Well, there can be a couple things. And I feel like because it's the Sabres, I want to mention them. One is feelings, right? One is, and that's the real world, but I think maybe the Sabres can overreact to that because of their defensive posture. And if Paterka was just like more serious through his agent about what he thought of his future, then the Sabres might have felt like that they had felt more pressure to do something mm-hmm. with him. Like Paul always says with Byram, again, it's in his article again about how just he says the right things about playing for the Sabres, and there's no sense that, you know, he's upset per se. That as far as I know, mm-hmm. sure might be that. There's always the owner. Who knows who he likes? I mean, sometimes
I thought the story was he loved Paterka.
Well,
so that I'm not. Yeah,
maybe. But because what happened with Paterka, wasn't it that a story came out that he had given permission to trade him? Before Paterka was traded, there was a report that Pegula said it was okay.
Yeah.
Which, like, why would you need that?
Right.
In a normal organization, why would there ever even need to be that? Who is Paterka?
Man.
He's a good young player, yeah. but he's not Wayne Gretzky. Like,
right.
The top dogs, I guess the owner would probably have to have the say, but him? Does that mean everybody gets this? Maybe. Yeah. It might. So those are a couple of possible theories.
I just think I don't mind Byram here with Dahlin. I think that can be a very effective pair. You know, if something happens to Dahlin and he's got to carry a pair, you're probably in real trouble. And Dahlin, no matter who his partner is, you're in real trouble if you lose Dahlin. So, like, that's, you know, it's not Josh Allen, but it's maybe as close as the Sabres have. He's an elite player at an important position, playing almost half the game, all the special teams, all the stuff, captain. All right, something happens, you're in real trouble. All right, but I think Byram, a partner for Dahlin, should be an easier thing to replace than a 30-goal, 23-year-old player. Do I need it? Should I back up and not give him credit for something he hasn't done yet? He had 27 goals and 28 goals the last 2 years. Okay. Close enough. That's the harder piece to find, I think. Like, someone who's capable, reasonably so, should be able to function with Dahlin as his partner and not get you in trouble, at least. I think you're hoping for a lot better than that if Byram's his partner, but still, all the same, the harder piece to find is Paterka, and yet that's the piece they took an underwhelming return for, and they're over here like, Byram, you got to offer me Connor McDavid or I'm not talking or something. Like, I don't know. I don't really get it. And he was the owner's guy. So it probably is just emotional and it's noise. That, you know, Paterka, the agent, there was going to be maybe turbulence here. I mentioned with Paul a little while ago how you haven't heard anything from really Byram or his representation through this whole process. And, you know, it makes me sort of trust that they are maybe more agreeable, and that's maybe that's all there is to it. But I don't know, man. The Paterka deal is going to look worse and worse the longer we go into the summer without some influx of some sort of scorer coming. And I don't know, we're a week or so, not even. We're past the 4th of July weekend. We're next Monday. We're at, well, Jeff Skinner got traded here in August. Like, that's where we're going to be.
Just
in a few days, we're going to be at, well, and I don't know, man. It's just I'm starting to feel like a chump again for, like, oh, well, I like Kesselring and I like Josh Doan, and, you know, I don't know. Then yesterday happens, and this kid Danforth may be taking Doan's spot in the lineup as it is.
Yeah, if it gets to a point where he's not on the ice, they'll waive him. They're not going to have him sit upstairs at his contract.
Danforth, so, yeah, right.
I agree with the overall point. Paterka is more valuable. I think they might have been surprised and disappointed that Byram was not a hotter option in the market. And that's on them.
Yeah.
That's the Sabres have a long history of these kind of misjudgments, if that's what happened. It's happened many times before. I just think, and you've heard me say it, my angle when it comes to Byram is if you're intending at all to sort of bank on him with Dahlin, I just think you're doing it wrong. He's too much of an asset for that because, I mean, I don't mean this literally. You could pay somebody 50 cents to play with Dahlin. Like, that's not – it's just bad asset management. It's bad valuation if you're prioritizing Dahlin's partner. And if the guy you want to put there and invest in, you're doing so because he, you know, brings up Dahlin, whatever that is. Like, that's just, to me, upside down. I think what you'd want to do is invest in defensemen that can, you know, be like Dahlin is, not quite to that extreme, but somebody who can carry it. And what you do with the rest, invest in your forwards, and then you piecemeal defense, and you piecemeal the fourth line for your favorite guys, youth, money, whatever mm-hmm. that is. But I'd never want to invest in a player to play with Dahlin because I just think there's no reason to do that. And that's what has scared me about Byram from not when he was traded. I didn't have enough of a feeling for him right away, but by the beginning of last season, that is what scared me. And the Sabres got, they should have gotten their answer when they split them up. Because Byram went into the tank when Dahlin and he broke up. So that's the ball game. And I talked to Chad DeDominicis one day around that time, around the deadline. Like, I don't know, couldn't you move him now? Did you want to show your cards? The organization and or any organization might have an opinion about a guy. And let's see if we're right. And you don't break the players up. You don't show the world what that's going to look like. And you move them before it comes to anything. Like, you could have done that. But instead, the Sabres maybe wanted to see for themselves, which isn't on its own so bad. And now it's the how many off seasons in a row where it feels like they're stuck. I mean, this is really kind of always what happens in some way with some player is you get to the day where it's all kind of the dust is settled and wait a minute, what about the one thing that we all kind of thought was the obvious thing to do? Why didn't that get done? And that can be ownership, that could be money, that's almost the same, and that can be just evaluating interest in your player.
The other facet of the timing of the trades, the Paterka going before Byram, like we talked with Paul in the 4 o'clock hour, it was 3:30 even, that they're leaving this cap space for like break glass in case of emergency in the form of an offer sheet.
Oh,
so because we don't, you know, and look, I get that. Like if you're stuck with this asset, right, and don't want to lose them for draft picks, I respect that, like where you're at right now on your timeline, selling that, like, we let Philadelphia take them, and but we got a first, a second, and a third or something, like, I mean, throw up in my mouth.
Oh, I would so do it.
But the timing of the deals, like, left you exposed to Byram and the offer sheet. You're going to keep this money. It gives them an excuse to park $12 million for now over here. And we'll see. They're going to spend some of it. You know, Timmins will get a contract, and Levi will get a contract, although it might not be on the books for the NHL team. And there's another guy, I think, that I'm forgetting that still needs an RFA deal. But anyway, they'll spend some of it. But mostly it's their excuse to not spend all their money this time around is, well, we had to protect against Byram.
Well, that's like lose-lose then, because matching an offer sheet to him would just be catastrophic, I think. Like, because then you're talking about how many millions and years for a guy that's just not that good. And I know it's draft picks, but I would snap call, take him. And now Adams has already said they definitely wouldn't do that, which is another kind of like back on defense.
Which sort of tells you, I think, it depends on how badly Byram really doesn't want to be here long term. But I think the chances of an offer sheet coming are pretty low. And a team could want to do it, but Byram and his agent got to agree to it. And if they think they've got a gun to their head that says you signed for 7 years somewhere else, guess what? You're a Buffalo Sabre for life. he's not signing an offer sheet.
I don't know. That might be right. I think that could go either way. I don't know. It goes back to the thing we don't know, which is how he feels about playing for the Sabres. You know, he doesn't have to hate it. It's set for life money, and he's not getting that here, maybe. So,
and there's no playoff pressure.
Not yet.
We believe Bo is an excellent hockey player that can help our team win. You know, I've maintained the same position that if there's a deal out there that makes sense for us that we think is going to improve our roster, we're open to it. But if there's not, you know, we're not in a situation where we're looking to move him out or looking to move him for future.
So I like a little bit of what I heard from Kevin Adams right there about Bo Byram, because I agree, and I've said that. Like, why trade him for future assets? Just doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it's an easy situation, though. It could be a tough needle to thread here with Bo Byram, so I at least want to give him that. I know it's easy to just pile on all the time. I get it, right? But this is not a bad hockey player. What you heard from Kevin Adams there, though, I think also confirms just a little while ago what I've believed about the Byram situation as it stands right now. And what I believe is the Sabres are making it known to anybody that'll listen, we will match an offer sheet. Because A, we don't want the future assets. Why? What do we need another first-round pick for? We've had first-round picks, high first-round picks, for the last 14 freaking years, and it hasn't helped. And we got prospects that we're trading off Matt Savoy's of the world right now, right? Like, they have prospects. They're trading off J.J. Paterka's. A little bit more than a prospect. You get my point. Like, there's no need for that. And I agree with that. Okay? That's number one. So we're not interested in your offer sheet compensation. Okay? Number two, the reason they would match it is because they like Bo Byram. And I think there's a lot of things I like about Bo Byram. This is not a player that you just are itching to get rid of off your roster. This is not a player that you just say, we just don't like this guy. We don't want him around anymore. He would like a different situation. Not that he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. This is not a J.J. Paterka situation. Paul has said this constantly over the last several months. Every time he's on, we ask him about Bo Byram. He says, Bo Byram's fine with playing in Buffalo. He just wants a better, bigger role. And if that doesn't happen in Buffalo this year, fine. Then maybe it happens in another year or whatever. But it's not that he hates Buffalo. And he's a good hockey player. And he's serviceable. He's good enough to play in this team. And he can be... When I say this, I say it delicately. Part of the solution, he's not part of the problem, right? So I think from that standpoint, that's what you're hearing from Kevin Adams, and I agree with that. It's the same stance I have, which is, I mean, you don't want to just trade for future assets, but at the same time, he's a good hockey player. You don't mind having him on your team. I think the problem becomes where you do have a situation where you have a player, not saying that he's saying, trade me, trade me, trade me. Maybe he wants to be traded, whatever. Maybe he did say that. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like a JJ situation like that. But he wants to be somewhere else, bigger role, play in the power play, whatever. And you don't want to come to a head where you just have to give him away because it just gets untenable, right? You also don't want to overpay him. And somebody offers him an offer sheet and you're like, you know what? We're going to match this. We don't like the number there. That can happen as well. So I think what he's doing here, he said... He used an interesting word, strategic. We put ourselves in a strategic position planning for this when it comes to Bo Byram. And to me, the strategic position is, hey, everybody knows we have the money to match. So if you want to offer him, we're going to tell you we're going to match. But at the same time, so that allows them to say to a team, we're not going to do it. We're going to do it. But if you want to trade for him, we want that instead. That's what we're trying to do. I think that's the strategic position that he's basically said and putting this team in. I think it comes off as that, you know, just listening and reading around, they're looking for multiple pieces for Bo Byram, not just a forward. Now, maybe one forward who can fit in your top six can really knock their socks off and you say, okay, we'll do that. There's probably more pieces involved. I don't think it's a one-for-one top six guy. I think it's got to be something they also want to add on to it. Another depth defenseman. I don't know. I mean, what are we talking about draft picks, right? Sometimes that happens in the NHL. You swap picks. We're not talking about first and second rounders, or at least first rounders, I guess. So I think that's part of the possibility here.
All right. I do think they've put themselves in a position where they at least aren't forced into the Bo Byram situation, kind of like they were JJ. That being said, it's still not easy. On Alex Tuch, I mean, yeah, they're still working towards it. You know, you want to get something done. There's no real pressure here on Alex Tuch right now, right? I mean, really the pressure comes on, to be honest with you, probably not until the trade deadline and seeing where you are. And if you're about, look, I'll give you a scenario here. If this team is actually fighting for a playoff spot and like legitimately fighting for a playoff spot, not, oh my God, they got to go on a historic run at the end and they can still make it. Not like that. Not win 9 in a row. I mean, like they're right there. They're in a playoff spot. They're very, very close. They're 1 point out with, you know, at the trade deadline. Even if you haven't re-signed Alex Tuch, I think you keep him because, yes, I know you can get something for him, but holy cow, breaking the drought's got to be everything now. It's got to be, and I'll deal with it. And then you let the chips fall where they may. And if you don't, and he leaves, it sucks. If you do, and he leaves, at least you did it, and you're feeling better about your future. And now you have a team that made the playoffs, and it resonates a little bit more, right? So I think that's a scenario. I think the ultimate thing that's going to happen here, though, is like it feels like Alex Tuch will resign eventually. Now again, he could take this up and say, "Look, I want to see what my options are. Let's see where you guys are. Let's see where we are." I don't think they're just looking to trade Alex Tuch over the next couple months with 1 year left on his deal. It wouldn't make sense to me after already trading JJ Paterka and knowing this is a player that fits into your organization very well. The other thing that came up at the end of that, by the way, was the report that was written a couple of days ago that the Sabres had made a change in TV producer. And as part of that, the report was that some people in management felt the broadcast was too critical. Listen, I'm going to tell you two things here. I'm going to tell you what Kevin Adams said. And I will tell you that I have personally, because I'm in this industry, have heard the same thing. So I'm going to tell you that I believe him wholeheartedly when he says he has no problem with the broadcast. Pete Guelli, who is the president of the Bills and Sabres, chief operating officer. Sorry about that. He's the COO of the Bills and Sabres. I mean, he tweeted out, "I have said consistently, we have a lot of things to work on at the Sabres. A critical broadcast is not one of them." He said, "I would have been happy to tell anyone that asked. It's tough to respond to everything, but wanted to clear this up." And I'm sure there are people sometimes every once in a while say, "Ooh, he shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have said this," whatever. Like, I mean, that happens in any type of broadcasting situation. If you're in this industry long enough, radio, TV, that happens, right? But Kevin Adams was like, "No, we love Marty. We love Razor. We love Dan Dunleavy. We love Duffer. Like, that's not an issue." He basically seemed literally like totally taken aback by even the question about the report. So that was out there. And I know a lot of you kind of latched onto that the other day. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. Like, that's not. Those two things are, A, mutually exclusive. They are mutually exclusive if there was any tie into why they made a change. But B, I don't even think that's a part of it from anything I've heard. So I never even believed it anyway. Maybe somebody somewhere said that, and that's why it got reported. But to me, it was never an issue. Anyway, that's where you stand on those particular topics. I also feel like Ryan Johnson's going to have a spot on this team based on what Kevin Adams said just a little while ago. Like the way he talked about Ryan Johnson, the way he talked about just some of the additions they've made, where guys fit. So we'll see where things go.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream.
Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.